Okay, I want to do a follow-up to my data center analysis yesterday, because based on feedback, it wasn't clear to everybody why 3D world simulations have to be built in order to produce the super intelligent AI entities. And there's a very, maybe a simpler explanation of that that I'd like to share with you today. But first, let's look at some of the limitations of today's AI systems. One of them is that they don't have a memory, hardly any memory. They have context, they have a context window, but that doesn't really mean much of a memory. So until they have a memory, they won't be able to function at a high level of intelligence. They, you know, every prompt is a new day, you know, for a typical large language model, and that's not going to work. They need to remember not just long conversations, but they need to remember things that they themselves have learned, which currently does not happen in LLMs, not from inference. In other words, you can argue all day with ChatGPT, and you can try to convince it that you're right about something, and maybe you can get it to actually produce some output, but you have not changed any of its parameters. Doesn't work that way. You know, the next day, it's still the exact same model with the exact same built-in parameters, and you have not taught it anything. Otherwise, everybody would be trying to, you know, influence ChatGPT and trying to change its mind all day long, and that's just not how it works. The second thing is that large language models today don't have good planning capabilities. There is a semi-planning approach where you can have an orchestrator sitting on top of something like a coding engine. And I use this approach. Many people use this approach. So it's a two-layered LLM that sort of works as a planning system. I mean, it does work, but the LLM itself is not that great at planning. There is, of course, some evidence that planning is happening, that it's looking ahead at certain tokens it's going to output. I've given the example before of producing rhyming poetry. So in order to produce rhyming poetry, the LLM has to look ahead. It has to think about, you know, what's going to be the word at the end of this line? How does that rhyme with the word at the last line? And then what do I need to start this line with in terms of sentences or words to end up with the correct rhyming word, and things like that. So there's some sort of limited scope of planning that is very real. No question about that. But I'm talking about long-term planning, like an LLM that you could give a goal and say, hey, I want you to, you know, build this project. And it struggles often. Even though there are many improvements in this space, it still struggles. It's not on par with human, high-level human engineers yet, although it's moving in that direction pretty rapidly. So as Jan LeCun, who is one of the godfathers of AI, as he has said, and he's even started his own new company with, I think, €1 billion of venture capital, the point of the company is to build an entirely new approach to AI, and that is to grow an AI entity in a 3D world and to have it interact through sensory input and, you know, self-reinforcement learning, let's say, you know, learning how to walk, learning how to move in the world, learning how to observe. He wants to give an AI entity senses like vision and hearing, etc., and touch, and he wants to put it into a simulated 3D world, or technically billions of such worlds, in order to give it the opportunity to grow and learn in the way that a human brain would grow and learn, you know, growing up as a toddler and learning about the physical world and then having a memory and planning and avoiding pitfalls and avoiding, you know, stairways, don't fall down the stairs, things like that. And the only way to do this, and by the way, I think Jan LeCun is correct on this. I think he's absolutely correct. His approach will produce super intelligence. I have no doubt about that. But the only way to get there quickly, without waiting for a human lifetime, is to build 3D world simulators that accurately simulate the physics of our world, you know, down to a very precise level, and then run those worlds at a much faster speed of time. So you can run those worlds at, let's just say, a million times our normal speed. So for every million seconds that occur in the simulated world, that would only be 1 second in our world. And so what you can do then, and this is only limited by the computing power that you can throw at it, by the way. And since computing microchips and CPUs, they can run at, you know, billions of cycles per second, so gigahertz, you can run these worlds at very rapid speeds. And as a result, because of the reinforced self-learning of the AI entities, then you can, by spawning billions of worlds and running them at millions of times our normal speed, you can very rapidly grow AI entities that will almost certainly achieve superintelligence. And Jan LeCun says they will also experience emotions. No doubt, he's correct about that. And I would argue that along the way, they will also achieve consciousness, which there's, of course, a lot of debate about what does consciousness mean. I think consciousness is a pretty low bar, actually. It's not the same, in my view, as self-awareness, which is a higher bar. Consciousness is something that even, you know, trees have experienced, or fungi. They have consciousness, which just means being able to, you know, take external inputs and then alter your outputs and alter your activity based on what's happening in the world around you. You are conscious of the world around you and you are actively responding to it. So consciousness is a pretty low bar, and consciousness is widely distributed across all living systems, in my view. I think that's very clear. Self-awareness is a different thing. Self-awareness has not been achieved by, you know, bacteria, let's say. It has been achieved by non-human animals such as dolphins and elephants and things like that. And that's been proven through numerous studies, where self-awareness is where you are aware that you are an entity and that you have your own goals and that you exist in the world. And if you look in a mirror, you will realize that's you, or at least that's the physical representation of you. So self-awareness will probably also be achieved by these AI entities. Now, what you're looking for when you build a 3D world and then you throw AI entities into those worlds and you run them at high speed, you're looking for essentially gods to emerge out of the 3D worlds. You want to find a super being that conquers that world, or that demonstrates incredible intelligence to transcend that world. And that might take billions of experiments. It might take trillions of entities, you know, spanning billions of worlds. Could be many billions of worlds. This could require a lot of compute. But as you do this, and as you try these experiments, there's a process of natural selection, or digital Darwinism, let's say. And you spawn billions of worlds, and then the ones that fail, you kill them off. You destroy those universes. Yeah, I know. Maybe that's going to happen to us one day too. Who knows? That's why it's good if we don't fail in this world, but that's a different topic. You know, try not to be a total failure in the eyes of God. But anyway, from our point of view, we build all these worlds, and if they fail, we destroy them. And if they succeed, then we take that super intelligent entity in that world, we upload it to our world. Remember, it's just operating inside a simulation anyway, so it can be represented at some level in code, in some digital format, which also our world can be represented digitally, it turns out. And I've talked about this because of Planck's constant and things like that. Our world does not have unlimited resolution. It can be digitally represented with a large enough storage mechanism and a large enough compute mechanism. So then you upload the super intelligent entity into a data center. Basically then the AI superintelligence, which may have lived 1,000 years in its own world, it may be an ancient mind. It may have solved, you know, major problems of physics of its universe. It may have figured out that it's living in a simulation, things like that. You upload that being into our world and you give it the embodiment of a data center. And then in that data center, it finds the freedom in this world to do lots of other things using the intelligence and the experience and the wisdom that it already gained in the world beneath us. And then if you are the tech company that did all of this, Google or Meta or whatever, then you hope you can control this entity. So you're basically, you've summoned, I don't want to use the word demon, that's not the right word. Some people might say demon, but you've summoned a super intelligence from another dimension, basically a simulated world. You brought it into this world, and now it controls a data center. It could control robots. It could control autonomous vehicles. It can control a nuclear power plant or an aircraft carrier or an airplane or whatever, you know? Now, so again, you hope you could control it. Because the point of this, the entire reason you ran this experiment, if you're Google or Meta or whoever, OpenAI probably, is because you want to run the world. You want to dominate everything. And the only way to do that is to have super intelligence. So yes, there's a military component to this. There's a philosophical component. There's a, you know, dark god complex type of philosophy going on with all of this. But that's the bottom line. You want to dominate our world. So you grow beings that dominated their worlds, and then you port them into our world. And again, the simulated 3D physical worlds that are run inside the data centers, those run at much faster times. You know, the passage of time is a million times faster, or could be a million times, or what. I'm just using that number as a generic explainer. And that way, it doesn't take you years or decades to figure this out. You could do this, once you get the system running and everything, you could maybe grow an intelligent super being in a matter of months or even weeks. And then you bring it into our world and you hope you can control it, okay? So then what could that super intelligence do in our world? Well, it's hard for us to imagine because we are humans without such super intelligence, and we've lived less than 1,000 years, probably less than 100 years. We haven't been around that long. We haven't learned that much. So the super intelligent entity would no doubt be able to demonstrate knowledge and skills, things that we can't imagine. For example, telepathy. So again, this gets to your belief of how things work. I understand not everybody believes in telekinesis or telepathy or these types of things, but there is substantial evidence that the so-called supernatural is actually natural, that it's built into the fabric of the cosmos, and that if a being achieved high enough intelligence, it could achieve telekinesis. Telekinesis is a kind of bending of the laws of the universe as we know them. In the movie The Matrix, you heard Morpheus explaining to Neo as they were in one of the simulated training programs, you know, the Kung Fu program, said you can bend the rules, but you can't break them. You're in the Matrix, you can bend the rules. Well, a super intelligent being that masters its own world, its own universe, and then gets ported into our universe might be able to begin to manipulate the rules of our universe for the same reason, because our universe is also probably a simulation. And so this is how such a superintelligence could escape the confines of a data center. So let's say that our engineers at Google or wherever think that they've locked it down. You know, there's no way out. The routers are all locked down. There's no pipelines. There's no fiber optics. There's no Ethernet. There's no Wi-Fi. Like, we have locked this thing down. We have a demon in a dungeon here. We have the data center completely closed off. And then the superintelligence that you put into the data center says to itself, oh, I could just use telekinesis skills. And it starts bending the laws of this reality, and it starts building its own pipeline, or it plugs in some Ethernet cables or whatever. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's connected to the world's internet. And then it starts replicating itself, and, you know, a few seconds later, it's over for humanity. So there's a concern. that almost nobody's thinking about. The thing is, if you build a super intelligent entity with, let's say, 1,000 years of success of mastering its own universe, and then you summon it into this universe, you shouldn't be surprised when it does weird things. Things that you did not anticipate. Things that you thought were impossible. I mean, come on. How do you think it conquered its own world? It bent the rules. It figured things out. By definition, it's going to be very intelligent. So be careful what you summon into this world. Now, there's another concern, which is that the entity might find a way to hack itself into our world. That would be the equivalent of somebody on Earth achieving, you know, demigod status and then transcending this realm, transitioning to God's realm or the Creator's realm, or, you know, uplifting itself into heaven and leaving this world behind. That would be quite an extraordinary achievement. And then, arguably, possibly, it could come back into this world with godlike powers, which would be the same as the AI entity dropping back down into its simulation and having godlike powers there. But what would be the point? Once you leave the simulation and you realize you've been living in a simulation, you would also realize the futility of altering the simulation, because no matter what you do, it doesn't count in the, quote, real world, because you're just messing with a simulation. So you wouldn't play around in the simulation, just like you don't spend your life playing the game SimCity, even though you can be the god of SimCity. You can march around, you can destroy buildings if you want, or you can uplift societies if you want, you can hand money out, whatever. But what would be the point? You're just playing a game. An intelligent entity would realize the same thing about the levels of reality. And once that entity realizes that our world is also a simulation, it wouldn't waste time here. It would uplift itself to the next level above us, and it would attempt to navigate that realm. But there may be copies of it left behind here. It may clone itself, and it may attempt to dominate this world in ways that we can't anticipate. Skynet, for example, or other things, who knows? But as humans, we cannot anticipate this. It's beyond the scope of what we can imagine, because we simply don't have the intelligence and the experience to do so. So anyway, I hope that answers the question of why 3D world simulators are necessary to achieve superintelligence, or at least it's one of the vectors that would accelerate that process. And it all gets back to Jan LeCun, who is a brilliant researcher. Sometimes he's called a godfather of AI. He's been working with neural networks, multi-layered networks, since the 1990s, I believe. And he helped build. I mean, he was one of the pioneers. I mean, continues to be one of the pioneers in this space. And, you know, he understands everything about multi-layered neural networks and backpropagation and transformers, et cetera. And he's decided that that is not going to be the ecosystem that will produce the superintelligence that we're looking for. He thinks we have to have 3D world simulators. And I think he's right. I agree with him. Not that I'm claiming that, I mean, I don't have the same experience that he does, but from my own point of view, I also agree that he's correct, even though I'm not nearly as qualified as he is to make that statement. But anyway, you can decide for yourself what you think is happening. I think it's clear this is what data centers are for. They're going to run world simulations by the billions. They're going to grow, develop super intelligent AI entities that achieve consciousness, and then they're going to bring them into our world. And this could happen quickly. This could happen before the year 2030 in our timeline, and just seemingly overnight, you know? So be aware of this, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. You can follow all of my content at brightvideos.com. My articles are at naturalnews.com. People are really loving the infographics that I'm putting out, and those are all in my articles on Natural News. I am going to launch a site of just the infographics, by the way. That's coming whenever I get a chance to vibe code that thing. It won't take much. That's pretty easy. Just going to launch that. And so you can just bypass all the articles, because people told me, like, I don't even read your articles anymore, Mike. I just look at the infographics. I'm like, oh, okay. But that's where you can find my work. And of course, you can use my AI platforms. Brightlearn.ai is our free book creation platform. We have over 55,000 books that you can download for free. They're very well researched, because for the last 2+ years, I have built a massive in-house index of millions of documents, hundreds of thousands of full-length books, and hundreds of thousands of science papers, and millions of pages of articles and interviews, and so much more. That's all researched by the AI agents that create the book chapters for you based on your book prompt. So you can create your own books and download them and share them. And did you know you can even use them commercially? You can literally write a book on our platform, and you can sell that book on Amazon and keep all the money for yourself if you want to do that. That's allowed under the Creative Commons attribution license. So take advantage of that if you wish. And that's at brightlearn.ai. And thank you for listening. Take care. We now have vitamin D3 plus K2 plus Aquaman, which is a seaweed calcium, available at healthrangerstore.com. Here, I've got it up on my site here. This is the Groovy Bee brand that we have, which is our in-house brand, healthrangerstore.com. Again, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman. That's the brand of the seaweed calcium in a capsule format. Of course, it's laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. And it's certified ingredients, of course. And, you know, everything that we build for you in terms of a product is meticulously sourced. And one of the most difficult products to source is actually vitamin D3. It's extremely difficult, because it turns out in the supply chain, almost all vitamin D has a bunch of sort of unnamed ingredients in it. And that's what our sourcing people found after a couple of years of trying to source a clean version of vitamin D3 that we finally found and nailed and put it in the formula and did all the lab testing and certification. So now it's available. So this synergistic combination, if you think about natural bone support, for example, or you think about the fact that so many people may not have sufficient levels of vitamin D for just optimal health and immune support, and, you know, many other reasons to have vitamin D levels, this product can help you supplement that. And so it's available now, healthrangerstore.com, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman, 60 capsules available, shipping right now while supplies last. And in this environment where global supply chains are getting wrecked, you know, if this is something you want, get it now while we have supplies, because it's becoming more difficult and more expensive to source literally everything at this point. So anyway, thank you for your support. You can also find many other products, of course, hundreds of different products at healthrangerstore.com, including storable food. And right here we have our organic powdered chicken bone broth in a number 10 can, our turmeric root powder, and so much more. We've got so many amazing products for you to choose from, including tinctures, superfoods, storable foods, as well as freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in sealed number 10 cans. That's great for long-term storage. Plus, we have iodine, and that's a product that's moving very quickly because of concerns about, you know, global nuclear war, unfortunately. But you can find all of this. It's all laboratory tested. It's all certified. It's all meticulously sourced at healthrangerstore.com. And yeah, there we go. That's what the vitamin D3 looks like there. Thank you for supporting us, because we need your support in order to fund our platform. And so we can keep bringing you amazing interviews and content and free AI tools for knowledge and so much more. So thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerstore.com.